Channel Radio. Great music and talk.
Right, time for work. I'm off to Channel Facilities Management. Oh, didn't I say? I don't work for them. What I mean is, I don't start work without them. Channel Facilities Management is where local businesses go for no-hassle, peace-of-mind commercial cleaning, security, janitorial supplies and facilities management. Operating a safe, green and eco-friendly service with no chemicals used. Channel Facilities Management. Don't start work without them. Just call 0800 612 4415 or visit channelfm.co.uk.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live, register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Your business will grow if you take advice from people who've been there and done it. See and hear world-class business experts in masterclasses and workshops at the only business conference worth visiting. The Grow Kent Annual Conference, November the 30th at the Ashford International Hotel. Get tickets at growkent.co.uk.
Interested in collaborating with like-minded Kent businesses? Join our supplymybusiness.co.uk community today and start growing your Kent business network for just £20 a month.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Tuesday, the 24th of October, with me, Paul Andrews.
And me.
Ms. on a bike.
Ms. on a bike.
Lady Bird.
Yeah.
Lady Bird, Ms. on a bike.
Yeah.
You're all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good. Cool. Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio, Biz Radio and kentbusinessradio.co.uk. I want to tell you about the Big Breakfast. The Big Breakfast is racing into Lingfield. Yeah?
Where's that?
Lingfield.
Yeah.
It's in Surrey.
Oh.
It's a race course.
Is that near Box Hill?
It is, actually. It is on
No,
far.
It's
yeah.
not.
Yeah, shut up. It is.
Shut the front door.
Yeah. Lingfield race course. The Big Breakfast, it's free to attend, supported by Gatwick Airport and Coast to Capital. South London's leading fast, effective and fun speed networking event comes to the Lingfield Park Marriott Hotel and Country Club on Tuesday the 31st of October from 7:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Free to attend.
Do you dress up for that one?
Yeah. What, you wear your gym jams and dressing gown?
Could you imagine it?
Is that what you nearly
I reckon we should do that for a laugh.
Just turn up one.
I wouldn't. Anyway, we've got Tenterton Toilets on.
Hello, Laura.
Are you right?
How are you doing?
Can we have a shout out? They're on holiday, but welcome to great news. We've been awarded a gold at Goudhurst for the Loo of the Year.
Oh, well done. Nice
I
one.
I love that.
Yeah. Do you know, Laura, if you're listening, I was talking about you the other day, or somebody was talking about you to me. I was talking with Mark Parrin. Mark runs the Kent Supported Employment Group for KCC, and Mark and I staged a seminar at the beginning of this year where we introduced employers to people with disabilities and supported needs in the world of work, and Laura was there, and she's been really brilliant at hiring people, and the cleaners that she's got that she hired from the supported needs community are the ones that have won all these awards.
Really?
Yeah, really, really. It's absolutely fabulous, isn't it?
It's focused strategies.
Brilliant stuff.
We've also got the beautiful, and I'm going to call her beautiful, Jo Allsop, because she said, "Hi, beautiful Business Bunker." Yes, we are.
Hello,
Jo, aren't
yeah.
we?
Yeah,
we're beautiful.
We
today.
Are beautiful. Yeah,
we are. Shout out for launch of our gas fire showroom and VIP bash on the 2nd of November. So that's at Will Devlin Bites and at Hush Heath, and it's vino for guests.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
one of Jo's people was going around to my mum's on Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, going to measure her up for a new gas fire.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Had a tweet from Little Pep, the lovely Sherry Newton.
Where is she? She's gone off.
She's on her
Bay
Pier.
We haven't heard from her for ages, have we? She's been off. She's been in Thailand.
Yeah, yeah. She's been gallivanting around.
How's it going, Sherry?
She's been skiving. Well, it's going all right, according to this.
She's doing stuff,
isn't
she?
Yeah, she says, "Hi, Paul. Can we get a shout out for Little Pep juice cleanses for wellness and weight loss and discounts for regular subscriptions?" Now, I've got to lean over to read this. She's got a Little Pep juice package.
Yeah.
3, 5 and 7 day juice plans. So why don't you find out about it by following her on the Twitter? And her Twitter handle is Little Pep Juice. All one word.
Well,
Little Pep Juice.
Here's the thing as well. You see, I'm just putting something together for after Christmas. So I'm going to speak to Little Pep, Sherry. I'll DM you, darling, and we can get together.
Cool. That's good. I've also had a tweet from Design Point. Design Point. A shout out, please, for Design Point. Graphic design support for local businesses. Please contact Steve at Des_Point. Thank you.
Love Selling Academy. Only 8 places left for Love Selling Live.
I've got some stuff here on that. So go on, then. Why don't I read it? Beautiful. The Love Selling Academy have an amazing day planned on Thursday, the 9th of November at the Mercure Hotel Pembury. That's Tunbridge Wells. Well, what's it all about? Well, just imagine leaving a day with a simple but mind-blowing plan which can take you and your sales to the next level. A day where you'll jump off the business treadmill so that you can develop and grow a business you love. You can get more leads, make more sales, and gain happy customers. Yep, it's true. We love selling, and we want to show you that you can love it too. Oh, and for your information, it's none of that pushy, yucky, creepy sales closing stuff either, which is good. If that sounds good to you, then join the number one best-selling author, Audrey Chapman, and Emma Turner for the day and get your sales and marketing rocking to a whole new level. Audrey's book, Love Selling, How to Sell Without Selling Out, achieved number one bestseller status within a month of publication. So tickets are £97, but they're available for £47 on an early bird booking, although you might not get it now because I think that was yesterday that closed. But I know there's only 8 seats left anyway. Love Selling Academy.
We're slick today, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got a shout out, please. Buy, sell your car locally from carsfromkent.com. Thanks, Mitch. You are welcome, Mitch.
Cool. I'm a producer.
Of what?
Not me, the person that wrote this email. I'm a producer at an independent television production company based in London called Studio Lambert. I'm currently making a brand new series for Channel 4 called Buy It Now. That's the working title. Which gives an opportunity to entrepreneurs, inventors and license holders who have a product to sell to pitch their product to a captive audience of potential customers and a panel of professional buyers from some of Britain's best-known retailers with the hope of securing orders. Each seller will have 90 seconds to convince our studio audience to buy their product. If they're successful in selling to at least one member of the audience, they will then have the opportunity to speak to the panel of retailers who may choose to make an order. During our pilot episode, filmed in January, one entrepreneur received provisional orders worth nearly £150,000, whilst another inventor had a provisional order for 10,000 units of his product. Anyone interested in having a chat to us in more detail can contact us on the following email address, selling@studiolambert.com, or you can call them on 0203 040 6809. That's 0203 040 6809. Or if they'd like to apply to take part in the series, they can complete an application form on our website, which is www.studiolambert.com/buy it now.
Energy Water Broker, please give me a shout out. Of course you can, here it is. So now supplying EPOS, whatever that is, EPOS is. Do you know everything?
EPOS.
EPOS.
Electronic Point of Sale.
There we go. Now, post to go. POS to go. What's that mean?
Point of sale.
There we go. It's the ultimate mobile point of sale solution. There you are.
There you go.
That's really technical.
Yeah. After having exceeded myself on that, I think we'll speak to our studio guests now.
Let's
what do you reckon?
Yes. Yeah,
because that would be much more fun, wouldn't it? It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto. Both of you have been on before, haven't you? So it's welcome you back.
Not
on Business Bunker.
Aha, it's a premiere.
You have?
No, never.
Really?
Really.
We have
in Dimchurch?
No, other shows, not the Business Bunker.
I wonder what show you're on now, because I remember you being in Dimchurch.
I was on Women in Business show.
Could be. Anyway, you're on it now.
Anyway, exactly.
You're on it now. So, welcome to the show. I know what it was. I recorded you somewhere, and I played the recording. That's what
right.
It was.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show,
ladies. Thank you.
What?
Start off by telling us a little bit about each of you and what you do, and then we'll move on from there. I don't care. I don't mind who goes first.
Go on.
Argue over it.
I'll go first. Okay. I'm a public relations consultant, mm-hmm. and when people ask me what that is, they all go, oh, yes. And then they realise that they haven't got a clue what it means. So essentially, I'm a communication specialist, and what I endeavour to do for my clients is to raise their profile, and that could be of the person, or it could be for their company or the product or the service that they sell. And what I do is, my job is to raise a profile in relevant target media that are applicable to whatever the client is selling. And so that could mean in a national newspaper, it could mean in a trade publication, it could mean on the radio, television, whatever. And I really, what I'm doing is I am raising their profile, their reputation, and creating an environment in which they can sell their product or their service or their brand or their personality if they're...
And PR, although things have moved on a bit in terms of types of media, and there's a lot more types of media, especially online and digital, PR is still a huge part of the marketing mix for most businesses, but it's a part of the marketing mix that a lot of small businesses kind of overlook. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, they do. I think it's a huge part of the marketing mix. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people think that PR is just press releases. Well, it isn't just press releases at all. There's a million other things that I would do as well as press releases.
Sure.
It's a huge part. Some of my job will include some marketing. Sometimes I'll be doing advertising for my clients. Sometimes I'll be doing social media for my clients. It's whatever is required that I feel is required to give my client the best chance in whatever environment they need to appear in.
Yep.
But I do think it's difficult because for small businesses, you know, to pay for advertising, they can see a return or not a return almost immediately.
Hopefully, yeah.
Because, you know, you buy space, you know what you're going to put in that space and whatever publication it might be, or so, and it's done, you know. Mm. But with PR, it's a much more of a slow burn.
Yeah.
So it takes a lot longer because what you're trying to do is to get journalists to write about a product or a service. And that third-party endorsement is so much more beneficial because it's long-term.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rather than a quick advertisement, which you either react to or don't.
I don't know how you feel about this, Penelope, but to me, we kind of had this strange thing that's happening. I'm old enough to remember back in the day where you just put adverts in papers for things and then you just hope something happened and you couldn't really measure it. But, you know, there's the old saying that, you know, 50% of advertising works. You don't know, just don't know which we're 50%. Yeah. it was an act of faith and you used to do it. Now we have technology for measuring return on investment for things like that. But things have changed anyway. And you're now absolutely right. Most of the things I do don't have a return on investment, or not a measurable one anymore. What I'm doing with most of my businesses is trying to build long-term relationships and brand awareness of the things we're doing. Is that fair to say?
Really, that's what PR, I think PR is about. I would always say to a client, unless they got squillions of money to give me, which is very rare, that it's going to be 3 years. Mm. We're not going to really notice a huge amount, and until about 3 years. And by that stage, we should have actually established you as a name.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I like working with startups, and I've taken two companies from a complete standing starts with virtually no money to being sold, you know, for millions of pounds. Mm. But we just started at the very bottom with very basic things and worked very slowly. I worked for a company called Dislock Europe who sold wheel nuts for heavy goods vehicles and buses. Very exciting,
sexy,
I know.
Sexy product, wheel nuts for lorries.
But, you know, we worked really hard at it and did lots of different sort of PR things that one would do and lots of stakeholder engagement and all kinds of things. And that product's household name in the transport industry and is fitted by lots of big fleets like Sainsbury's and Stagecoach and so forth. Mm. So, but it took a while.
Yeah, sure.
You know, it took a while.
It does. And because, again, with social media and things like that, there's so much more data out there to actually stand out in the crowd and get your message across is becoming harder and harder.
Yeah, I just think... But I think nothing has really changed in all the years that I've been doing PR. Mm. I know that there are different ways of doing PR, and I think social media is just the latest way of doing PR, essentially. Yeah. And I did go to a conference a few years ago and see people were saying, oh, content is king, content is king. And of course, I totally agree with them, but it's always been king.
It's always been there.
Every news release you write has to have some content. Yeah. Every tweet you write should have some content that's engaging
but it's more true of a press release or an engagement like that, isn't it? You can write a tweet that's nonsense and then just nobody will read it, and it, you know, whatever, you know, like I had sausages for breakfast type of thing. But if you're going to send a PR piece out and you want someone to publish it or to, you know, put it out, it's got to have some meaningful content. Otherwise, they're just going to go, well, what's this about?
Absolutely, because journalists get hundreds of press releases, news releases every single day. Mm. How do you make yours stand out? It's not easy. And of course, with social media, they get hundreds more than they used to when they used to just have them. I always remember somebody, a journalist, telling a story at a public relations training session. He worked for the Financial Times, and he said, we get hundreds of news releases every day. Mm. He said, you know those oil, great big oil bins, you know, that you see sometimes, great big, we have those in our office, and they're filled up by the end of every single day. That was when you posted things.
Yeah, sure.
And you kind of think, oh my God, how am I going to make myself stand out from that? Now, with social media, it's even easier to send a million press releases out.
Absolutely. I'm going to have a little rant here at the PR industry in general. As a radio station, we probably get 3 or 4 dozen press releases a week for this show. And the vast majority of them are press releases aimed at the print media. So they're completely useless for me because they refer to photographs and all kinds of things that I can't do. For radio, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen out there, if you want a PR on here, I need half a paragraph with the words and a link to where people can find out. I don't need pictures because I can't do pictures on the radio. So I end up having to edit them. Cause I do like to read them out, but I have to edit them severely for use on the radio. From your point of view, Penelope, the PR marketplace itself, are people embracing it more? Are they still, you know, I'm thinking small businesses here, are they still reluctant to use PR? Are they still ignorant of the use of PR? What's your feeling about where the industry is?
I think when you have a recession like we did in 2008, PR goes last into the recession. Advertising tends to go first, marketing and then PR. But it also tends to come out last,
funnily
enough. I think PR, people don't understand it. So particularly small businesses, it's a lot of money to invest. If you say to somebody, well, you know, it's going to take a couple of years before you really see a change, perhaps. So they're anxious about that. Yeah. That's a big investment to make. Mm. I also think with social media, lots of businesses think they can do it all themselves because they can just put a few tweets up and a bit on Facebook, a bit on Instagram, a bit on Pinterest, and whatever, which isn't... Yeah, you can do that. Of course you can do that. But it's not the same as having a proper program, and really a strategy, and a concerted effort, and to know exactly where you're going and what your focus is. Mm. And I think small businesses, unfortunately, because they are so busy making sure that, you know, they've got their accounts sorted out and the products, oh, there's a problem with the product, I need to drop everything and sort that out. PR is so labor intensive that you can't always just say, I'm going to... spend Fridays, all day Friday, just doing PR. It's hard for
And me. We also live in a society where we almost expect and demand instant gratification for everything. And for me, that's one of the big issues I have when I'm talking to people about marketing in general, where I say, it's a slow burn. It's a long... Even sales, I'm interested in selling. At the end of the day, what you're trying to do is sell a product or service, and all the other stuff is just a pipeline towards that. Even sales takes time, even if you're not selling big ticket items, you have to build a relationship, you have to get to know people, you have to build trust, people have to trust you, then they'll start to buy from you. You can't walk in somewhere and go ka-ching, and people don't like that. They don't like that message that you've got to build a long pipeline, but you have, and that's just the reality of life. Cool.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for that. We'll come back to you in a moment, Penelope. Let's hear from the lovely Natalie now about what you're up to.
Okay. Always the same thing.
We haven't chucked you out yet.
No.
We wouldn't do that to you, Natalie.
You. Well, I'm doing my bit here as well.
Sorry?
I'm doing my bit here as well.
You are? Yeah.
So you want to know what I do?
Yes, please. Okay. I know what you do, but some of the listeners might not.
Well, I run a company called Kent Creative. Mm. And my goal is to promote arts and culture in Kent.
Okay.
As a thing in itself, I think it's very important. And a lot of people don't realize, but it's in every one of us every day. From the moment we get up in the morning to the evening, we've been engaging with some art and culture at some stage.
Absolutely. Creativity itself is something that touches everything.
Absolutely. The mindset, it has to start at school to develop innovative mind. And that's very important.
Mm.
And also, it's in so many aspects of our lives that I'm surprised some people still don't realize. Mm. But everything we do, the way we get dressed, what we use, all the objects we use every day, and obviously all the entertainment, I mean, the television, the radio, the music, cinema, theater, we all do that every day.
Mm.
And I sometimes ask people to just imagine for a minute if we didn't have any of this in our lives at all. We'd live in a blank canvas without any visual, anything entertaining. Visually, it would be terrible.
I mean, absolutely. I agonize for hours over what color socks to wear in the morning.
You see?
Yes, I do.
You think of the styles and the colors and all that.
Sometimes I wear odd colored socks because I just can't make up my mind.
And the entertainment side of it is massive, absolutely massive.
Mm, absolutely.
And I
saw a statistic recently. I don't know if you know, I'm on the board of the KCC Guild for the Creative and Digital Industries. And I saw a statistic really recently that the creative industries are worth £81 billion a year to the UK economy. I mean, this is not silly stuff.
Yeah, no, and just in the southeast. It's 2.5 billion.
Yeah.
It's just, but it's also important for businesses, and that's, there are two aspects of that. First, to run a business. We need creative people all the time.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
it's important the way you look. So your logo, your flyers, your merchandising, your website, everything is, it's absolute, so you need people to do that. Behind all of that, there are people who create the stuff, and that's individual organizations, etc. I think it's about 15,000 in the southeast, which is quite well.
I'm passionate about creativity, and I'm passionate about creativity from all kinds of aspects. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story here that doesn't necessarily fit into your side of this, but it means a lot to me, you know. Quite often we will talk about politically about the fact that a lot of people don't like the free market and they don't like how it works. But without it, there is no creativity. And here's an interesting thing. I've been looking at buying a new car, okay? And I decided I was going to buy a Tesla, an electric car, okay? And I've done a lot of looking at it. Fantastic car, absolutely brilliant. I was about to buy it. I'm a Porsche driver. And Porsche announced their electric car. What's happened is their electric car is better than Tesla because what they've done is they've taken the technology and they've leapfrogged it. Yeah. So that means that Tesla will respond to that by leapfrogging again. And that's how we will convert everybody to electric vehicles. Yeah. Because each of those competitive things will look for the next creative advantage over their competitors to make their product viable. And for me, that is the power of creativity. It's what inspires things to keep being reinvented, to move industries along, to make things happen. And that's why, for me, creativity is so important.
People don't realise that creativity is about inventing as well. So you've got, I'm reading Leonardo da Vinci's biography at the moment by Walter Isaacson. Oh my goodness, people just think it was about the Mona Lisa or the Vitruvian Man or, you know, the Last Supper, but it's not at all. He was so much more of an inventor, and we don't realise how that creativity enables us to develop the world that we live in today.
So that's why it's very important. And that is a perfect link to one of our partners on the Can Creative Awards, though, is the Ashford School, because their tagline is adventurous learning.
Yeah.
And they do use the creative arts at the school to encourage children to develop this creative mind. It's I mean, it's really important.
Absolutely.
It's really something. I mean, I'm on this planet to do that. That's my mission.
It's
really important. And the link with businesses is also that part of doing this, it's obviously promoting what people and organizations do through on various platforms, but it also is about creating links and partnership with other businesses because they can tap into this audience.
Absolutely.
What I've just said, that is thousands and thousands of people. And the beauty of it with arts and culture is that every event organization has a different audience and you can target exactly the one you want. A folk festival doesn't have the same audience as a classical music concert.
Sure.
You know, and it goes on with every event. It's a fantastic.
But then sometimes you also get that fusion where you where you get different art forms that that fuse temporarily to create something new altogether. So, you know, a classic back in the day is when Queen, the rock band, decided to try and stage an opera with, you know, an idea opera.
Well, that's being innovative and creative.
Yeah, exactly.
As well,
so using one genre in a completely different context to create a new genre. Absolutely.
So see, when it's new and innovative, so I can get passionate about that. When it's new and innovative, that is where business wants to be.
Yeah.
You want to be there. You want to be seen there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So a couple of things I want to talk to you guys about. You have recently announced the opening of the new Kent Creative Awards for 2018. An event that I was one of the judges on last year, and I came to the awards dinner, and very good it was too, and very powerful and exciting. And that happened at Ashford School. So that, tell us about that. It's open for nominations now.
Yes, it is. Okay. So there are different categories per art form and per type of organization, from visual arts, music, drama, performing arts, events of the year.
Radio?
It would be in the audiovisual category.
Books.
Books.
Books, that would be the publishing category.
Okay. Should we enter?
We could do both, couldn't we?
You can do both.
Well, I've never written a book, so you could do books.
Yeah,
How exciting.
And then you have the event of the year, the community organization. We have a creative champion category.
Right.
And this year we'll have an overall winner, which is an idea suggested by Penelope here.
You have a what?
Overall winner.
An overall winner.
Yeah.
So the most creative person in Kent.
You know,
that's
you could say that.
Yeah. That's us.
I think we're nailed on for that, Bert, don't you? I mean, don't you reckon?
We're creating every week consistently.
Yeah, yeah, I think we're nailed on to win that. So this was Penelope's idea.
So this was Penelope's idea.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Well, anyway, credit
You're welcome.
No, it's good. It's really good. So the awards, the ceremony will be on the 27th of April.
Okay.
People can enter. The application really is simple. We have a good jury panel, some people from London, from large organizations in London, to have a look at this.
Okay.
And so, but currently, right now, we are looking for partners to join it. So we have Ashford School already, we have Storm Chasers, we have the Milan Focus.
Okay.
Some not confirmed yet, but this is, to me, a really fantastic opportunity for businesses, but it really is, to connect to all these
She's convinced me already.
Good.
Yeah.
I've got the proposal with me. because then you can access all this audience. And the important thing, and then I'm hoping we can go into sponsorship and partnership here, but with an event, it's not just the event. It's all the months that lead to it.
Yep.
And you are talking about long-term relationship.
Absolutely.
And that is exactly what this is about.
Absolutely.
So some of our sponsors, we've had relationship with them for 3 years.
And I just want to say, having been involved with lots of different things like this, and with my own charity and stuff like that, when people do partner with you, they need to leverage their partnership too, which is where PR comes in.
Yeah.
So many people will partner with you and then you never hear from them until the night that it happens or the day of the awards or whatever.
Yeah, because there's two ways of doing it. One is, you know, you become a benefactor. So you essentially you just give some money and you just want your name somewhere and it's fine.
Yeah.
But most sponsors or partners, as they like to be called these days, if they're going to be sponsoring you for a certain amount of money, they also then need to realize that they're going to have to double that in terms of what they spend on it for themselves. So, yeah. I mean, if you're looking at a big sponsorship, you know, and it could be a sports sponsorship. I'm not just talking about art sponsorship.
If
you're going to give £1 million to something as a sponsor, you know, you're a Coca-Cola or something, you know that you're also going to have to match that from your own side with another £1 million to spend on the branding, the producing all of the, you know, advertising hoardings, you know, if you're giving product away, you know, whatever. So the thing you need to realise is if you want it to work properly is you give £5,000 and then you're going to need to probably spend another £5,000. Now, that could be in terms of individual, just time, or it could be in terms of product.
Yeah.
But you need to kind of be thinking like that if you want it to work really properly.
And that's right. Even at smaller numbers, you know, let's not frighten anyone here. But even, you know, if you're a small business and you're going to sponsor something like the Kent Creative Arts Award, you go, right, I want to put £1,000 towards the sponsorship of this.
Is that about right?
Yeah. And Natalie will go, call it 3,000 and we'll talk. But basically...
That's one's gone already.
but basically, you're absolutely right. You know, if you're going to spend that kind of money as a small business, you need to spend a bit more because you need to make it work for you. Yeah. That's the whole point about it.
The whole point is that's why it's a partnership. It goes both ways in between the event or the organization and the sponsor. And the biggest difference with a lot of people don't realize, because I think some sponsorship is done around in a very passive way.
Mm.
And sponsorship for an event is not just a logo somewhere on a banner.
Yeah.
It's active. And that is the big difference with advertising. You don't just sit and wait until something
Absolutely. Happens. It is one of the one of my pet annoyances as well, though. I won't name them, but for many years I sponsored a theatrical outfit, let's call it that. And I was happy to do that, and I spent a lot of money on it, and I did a lot of promotion. But they did basically nothing, and that really annoyed me because, you know, it was really... I could have done it on my own. Yeah, Penelope.
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem in understanding from both points of view, from the arts organisation and the sponsor. Both sides need to really understand what they're getting into, what they're signing up for.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of arts organisations think sponsorship is really a donation.
Yeah, sure.
And we'll just give you free tickets to a performance and we'll put your logo and you can have an ad in the programme.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But actually, if you really want to make it work, you as the sponsor need to say, actually, I'm prepared to give you all this money, but I want this to work a little bit more. I want to have a dinner with some of the actors afterwards and bring my guests, for instance, to meet them.
Yeah, sure.
Or
it's got to be...
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're absolutely nailed on 100% right. Yeah. You know, as a business myself, I spent a lot of time telling people that. Look, I want something back out of this. I'm happy to support this, but it's a commercial transaction.
Yeah.
No, yeah? It's not a charitable donation.
Absolutely. And I can see that's one of my challenge is that it's to fight this assumption that people make.
Yeah.
It is not advertising. It is not a donation.
Yeah.
It is an active participation in something where I do ask people to take action, to be active, to engage with the audience. Because the whole point of the sponsorship is that I get them to tap into their audience, but they need to engage with them. And you do that face-to-face. Yeah. Very
and important. That's really important as well, Natalie. It's I put on events, I get sponsorships for that. The sponsors just think, I'll give you the money, and that's where they... finish. And you're like, no, you need to come. If you want to make this event work for you as well, it's not just about giving me the money. It's actually not about the money. It's completely irrelevant. It's about working together so that you can raise the profile of everybody concerned. And for the people who are there to go, oh my gosh, I didn't realise that sponsorship was there. Why didn't they come and speak? Or why didn't they say that the sponsorship sometimes become very blind.
It's one of the issues to say, and I agree totally and 100% with what Penelope is saying here, is that a lot of businesses shy away from this because they go, oh, it's just a donation. Mm. Yeah, it's, you know, as a businessman myself, I get the opportunity at least 20 times a week to give people money, and people are always asking for money. So the fact is so many businesses look at this and they go, oh, somebody else wants some money. But that isn't what it is, or it's not what it should be about. It really shouldn't. This is an opportunity to engage in a marketing exercise that is going to bring you awareness, brand returns, building a pipeline, strengthening who you are in the community and all those kind of things. It's a much bigger thing than that.
Yeah. And businesses, I think, a lot are missing out.
Yeah.
Not being involved in this. There are absolutely massive audiences, and you, the benefits are multiple, but it's also about the association with something positive.
Yeah.
There could be a downside of that is because it's not charitable.
Mm.
So it's just in between. Some people don't see it as a marketing activity, which it is. And I see people spending more money on an advert in a free magazine than in an event that would bring so much more for sometimes less money.
We're really bad, to be honest, as small businesses at that kind of thing. Really bad. Yeah.
I think there's an issue here in kind of miscommunication.
Yeah.
And I think arts companies think that they are not businesses.
Some of them, of course.
No, you are definitely one of the exceptions. But they don't. They like what they're doing so much, and the money is okay, the income. But you know, but they really need to think of themselves as small businesses.
Yeah,
and
of course.
Small businesses are all about doing, you know, doing what you like and earning some money from it. But so the arts companies don't understand that they are. This is a business arrangement and they are businesses. The business companies think they're nothing to, you know, the engineering company, I'm not into arts, I don't do art, I don't understand it, you know, so I don't want to get involved.
Mm.
You know, which of course, again, is ridiculous because we're talking about design and creativity and everything like that.
Yeah.
So there's this sort of big divide, you know, between what art companies think they are and what businesses think they are.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
They really find they're both scared of each other to a certain extent. And what Natalie is doing, I think, is brilliant because she's trying so hard to bring them together
to make it
work.
Mm. And to understand that, I do surveys regularly. To understand who the people are. Now, just joking about what you just said, the latest I'm doing, it's still on if you want to do it, if you're in any way involved in the creative sector, is to understand how creative organizations and individual work at the moment. One of the questions I ask is, do you see yourself as a business? 45%, if I'm right, say yes, definitely.
Mm.
And another 20% or 30% say yes, somehow.
Right.
So it's still the majority of them so far who do see themselves as a business.
Yeah.
Mm.
But some don't. And it's more difficult. Yeah.
But it's not. But I'm kind of on Penelope's side here with this, because a lot of them do think of themselves as a business, but they don't think like a business.
Exactly.
The issue here, and it's perfectly understandable, if you're involved in the art, and I see this. I used to be a director of the Hazlitt Theatre in Maidstone, and you see this quite a lot. Yeah, people that work in the theatre, people that work in the arts, are obsessed with the arts and the theatre. Yeah, they know that they're a business, they know they have to make money, but they also know that art can't be compromised by the money, if you see what I mean. Yeah, they don't. As a small provincial theatre, if I wanted to just make money, all I need to do is put on tribute bands.
Yes.
That's all I need to do, and I can make tons of money.
Yeah,
if I want to put on Shakespeare, or I want to put on this or that or the other, I know I'm not going to make any money out of it. But I prefer to put on Shakespeare than I would have an ABBA tribute band.
Quite a few actually don't ask themselves is what they do is wanted or needed. And then there is sometimes doesn't get sell. But also, you were saying about like an engineering company not interested in the arts.
Mm.
Well, maybe not. But sometimes, yes, because the audience is the same. Their customers would be the same as the audience of an event. And that's what they need to look at.
Yeah.
Again, the survey, I do some of the 365 photographic project we do. Most of their interest, people who take part, they're interested in obviously photography, but also walking outdoor. Now, so potentially, a company that makes outfit for walking would be interested in sponsoring this, because the people who take part are exactly the people they want to target.
Absolutely.
Customer.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
A friend of mine is a rugby coach, and he coaches juniors, but he's also a very senior marketing guy. And a few years ago, he suddenly realised that there were loads of parents standing on the line on a Sunday morning watching their little darlings beat the hell out of each other playing rugby. And while they were standing there, they were just chatting about what they do for business. And he suddenly realised that he had an audience there of very wealthy, for want of a better word, business people that were just idly chatting about the world of business. And when he kind of formalised that process and said, oh, let me introduce you to you to you, they started doing deals while they were watching rugby.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit of the same kind of thing that says, you know, here's an audience that has a common interest. And that common interest is the arts or photography or theatre or drama or music or whatever it is. But you all do other things too.
Yeah.
But you all have this in common.
Yeah.
So why can't you talk to each other
exactly
around the same thing?
And then you're associated to something pleasant, entertaining, positive that people enjoy. Just to talk about audience very briefly, I just wanted to give some numbers in Kent.
Mm.
So, for example, Turner Contemporary in Margate, they had 2 million visitors.
Mm.
Yeah. Their economic impact is 7.8 million.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, you have Broadstairs Folk Week. They have 50,000 visitors.
Mm.
And their economic impact was 2.4 million. The Canterbury Festival, 65,000 visitors. Mm. Economic impact, 3 million. It goes on in Kent like that.
Absolutely.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And within this, you have different audiences.
We have 50 people in Fruitworks.
50 what?
People in Fruitworks. Do you know, in Fruitworks, we stay small, I don't know what you call them, small troupe plays once a month. And we also do performance poetry.
Excellent.
Once a month, too. Yeah. Sweet.
No, it's all,
excellent.
Yeah, I told you, it's everywhere.
Mm.
It's everywhere.
Listen, ladies, we're fast running out of time. I want to make sure we cover everything. Is there anything else we need to cover that you guys are up to?
Yes, I could mention a couple of things. So, again, the entry to the Kent Creative Awards. So that's all on our website, kentcreativearts.co.uk.
Cool.
There is time because the deadline is in January or February.
Mm.
I would like to mention, though, that we are doing, in collaboration with Turner Contemporary, a designers and makers market in Margate at Turner Contemporary on the 2nd and 3rd of December. There will be 25 makers selling ceramics, jewelry, clothes, all sorts of things.
And I know Phil Gallagher, if that helps. Mr. Maker.
Mr. Maker.
Yeah, from CBBBs.
He was in the pantomime last year.
He's lovely, Phil. He's our patron. I'm the president of the Kent Deaf Children's Society, and Phil's our patron. Yeah, he's lovely.
And another thing I like to, or two things, because I keep researching this sector, because that's the best way to support and promote things, is to understand what they do and how they do it. There is this survey I mentioned. So anyone involved in the creative sector, again, kentcreativearts.co.uk, there is a link to a survey to understand how people work, how they do it, what works, what doesn't, what their challenges are. All this will be analysed, so we at Kent Creative can offer exactly what they need, which is basically what all our projects are about. But I'm also going to share it with other organisations who can also adapt, and all together we can change all of that. And on the 8th of December, we have an all-day networking learning event in Faversham, Kent Creative Connect. With different people coming and talking about the role and the importance of arts and culture in Kent. We'll have people from the Arts Council, and we'll have Penelope as well, marketing, and we'll have Christa Cloutier, who runs the working artist class, coming from London and America.
Fantastic.
So 8th of December.
Fantastic. We're fast running out of time, so I've got to hurry up. So if the easiest thing is if both of you ladies give us your websites or whatever you want to give us so that people can find out more about what you do, that's the easiest thing to do from now. So Penelope can go first.
My website address is www.penelopejamespr.com.
Fantastic.
Twitter handle is @pjpr.com.
Fantastic. So give Penelope a follow on the Twitter. Do check out our website, Natalie.
So the website again, kentcreativearts.co.uk, and the Twitter handle is kentcreativeart, because
thank you.
The S doesn't fit.
And you can listen to Natalie at 4 p.m.
absolutely.
Today on Channel Radio.
Thank you.
But we'll talk about that in a minute. For the moment, ladies, thank you so much. That's fascinating and absolutely right. Please, if you want to partner with Kent Creative Art Awards, do get in touch with Natalie. It is a fabulous event. There's loads of interesting people there. and it's always a good deal. So fantastic. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Got dozens of emails and tweets still coming in. I've got an email here, which is the Big Breakfast at established in 2010. The Big Breakfast regularly attracts over 100 people to a monthly event in Croydon. Due to its popularity and to encourage valuable business networking across the region, the event is now being held in 3 locations. Thanks to the support of Gatwick Airport and Coastal Capital, these events are free to attend. So I've already mentioned the one at Lingfield Racecourse, and that's the next one. And then they're going to tell us when the other two are coming up. But if you want to find out more about all of their events, go to thebigbreakfast.org.uk.
It's really interesting because that title, The Big Breakfast, Ash Lawrence uses it as well because I was speaking at his in September. Okay. So, yeah, it's really interesting. Cool. Our 2018 open or public course diary is now available for bookings. We offer first aid training either at your premises or on one of our open courses. In-house courses are perfect if you have several people needing training, but if it is only one or two, then the open or public courses may well be suited to you. So this is emergency first aid at work 1 day. This is the first aid at work 3 days, a dedicated course to help you at premises for up to 12 people. And it tells you all about the costs. I can't tell you enough how important this is to you. Now, I'm a trained nurse anyway, been an A&E for years and years and years. And I still keep my first aid up to date every 3 years. It is so different to...
Absolutely.
It is really ridiculous and it changes all the time. So please, it is not just your work responsibility, it's your own personal responsibility as well. So this is the first aid team and this is Jeremy Hinchcliffe. And you need to go to www, that's the World Wide Web, thefirstaidteam.co.uk, Mr. Andrews.
It's, I just, without being horrible, I lost my dad back in April. And he collapsed, actually, in front of me. And I ended up having to give him CPR for nearly an hour until the ambulance arrived. It was typical of my dad. He did everything inconveniently. It was Easter Bank holiday. When I was in the Scouts a long, long time ago, I did my first aid badge. And I basically remembered CPR from that. And it struck home to me how remiss I am at not keeping my first aid skills up. You know, when you've got kids, any, whatever you want to look at, you know, if just dealing with basic everyday injuries is really important.
But also the ambulance service on the end of the phone are absolutely ridiculous at giving you sound advice of how to do CPR. So, and the thing is as well, Paul, is, I mean, I've done loads, thousands and thousands of CPR on people. If you're not doing it all the time, like anything else, you do lose any skill. Yeah. And you don't want that really as a skill, if we're really honest, do we?
No, absolutely.
It's not a skill you want, but they do talk about it. So, but you do need the knowledge first. And I just think that just helps. It's vital. Anyway, local author to Deal in Kent, Alan S. Noke, recently discovered a humorous fantasy book in the attic that he wrote nearly 30 years ago in his early 20s. He thought it might be fun to write about it and what happened in the characters 30 years later. In this time of uncertainty in the world, Clerbs? C-L-E-R-B-S.
That's the name of the book, yeah, Clerbs.
In the world, Clerbs. I thought it was just my accent.
No.
Excellent.
No, you're all right, my lover.
Okay, thank you.
Cool.
Are needed. You haven't put anything in this week about farmers or anything. Thank you. And
no,
I'm not even
right.
It's the first time I've not laughed.
That's all right.
You want to hear what they do to me every week. Are needed more than ever. The odds are logically against it happening. We just need something odd to the odds, which turned out to be the very odd indeed.
Cool. Thank you.
Pleasure.
I had this message. It says, "Hi, Paul. As a Tenterton resident," that's me, "and promoter of local opportunities, would you be kind enough to share this event? A colleague in Tenterton wants to set up a Toastmasters group in Tenterton. We're therefore putting on a demo meeting on Wednesday, the 1st of September at 7 p.m. We're still looking for a suitable venue." So you need to get a move on then. "So if you have any ideas or anybody knows a suitable venue where they could set up and regularly use a Toastmasters group, do let Susie Fish know."
Is this in Tenterton?
Yeah, yeah.
They could use your house, love.
They could use my house.
Yeah. Oh, what a lovely offer. Susie, give them a shout.
You see what she did to me there?
Yeah. Are you ready for this? Are you based in the borough of Ashford? Are you ready for me to rant now?
Go. No, but you can't anymore.
I'll tell you the story. Why not register your business for the Ashford Business Awards? The awards dinner takes place on November the 30th at Ashford International Hotel. For more details on how to enter, so Paul, how do you enter the Business Awards in Kent.co.uk for a global woman influencer like myself?
Yeah, and just because you're a global business based in Hythe, we've extended the patch for the Ashford Awards that now include... that now include all the global businesses based in Hythe.
He sent a message, right, out of the blue. I think it was like Sunday night, 11 o'clock at night, saying, here you are, my lover. We're now opening up the Ashford Awards for Global Women Business in Hythe. I was like, excellent, thank you very much.
Right, we're at the end of the show. We've run out of time. It just leaves me to tell you what we got coming up later on the show. Now, normally I have to read this out, but I don't have to read this out this week because at 4 o'clock we have the lovely Natalie Benaig with the Kent Creative Live Show. Who's on your show, Natalie?
Kent Creative Show. Yeah. And we have Priscilla Lamont, who is an illustrator, mainly of children's books, very well-known in her field. Mm-hmm. And we have the photographer Robert Grashoff.
Fantastic.
Who is a commercial photographer, but he also has a very lovely project about Kent artists of whom he does portraits in black and white. They're beautiful.
Fantastic.
So both on the show for an hour.
4 o'clock. 4 o'clock. Channelradio.co.uk. At 5 o'clock, we have the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery, with 2 hours of music and celebrity interviews. At 7 o'clock, Mr. Joey Whaler with a rockabilly show. At 9 o'clock, our comedy music show from the 1960s, I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet. And as always on a Tuesday, we finish up with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
1, 2, 3, get down!
Full drum beat and a squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So, as always on a Tuesday, we finish up with the wonderful Mr. Boy George and his Club Culture show. Just to remind you that on Friday, it's the Business Bunker Extra Show, our sister show presented by Amanda Flanders. And this week's show from 11 till 12 on Friday, the guest is Fuelbox World. Do have a listen in. I've met Kate from Fuelbox. Really fascinating product she has. So listen in, 11 o'clock Friday, the Business Bunker Extra Show with Amanda. And her co-host this week is me.
Well,
so there you go. Anyway, thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. We'll be back next week with another show.
Have a great week.
Yeah, thank you all. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.